the tech side over there?
Yeah, ready to go. Yeah, now we're ready to go, once I unmute myself, so we're all set.
All right. Having 6 o'clock, we will call the Administration Committee meeting for Wednesday, May 20th to order. We have Alderman Plocher, Alderman Transier, Peterson, myself, Alderman Cook is in attendance as well. We have staff, we've got Bart Olson, Aaron Wilred, Rob Frederickson, Carrie Parker, Lisa Pickering, and Marlis, our minute taker. So I don't believe we have anyone on here or in City Hall for citizens' comments. So moving on, we have minutes for correction or approval from February 19th, 2020. Any comments on those? Hearing none, we will take those then as presented. New business, we have admin 2020-19 budget report for April 2020.
Okay, we've been giving everybody the updates on the revenue side on our city council memos. So I won't belabor that other than there was an email that Rob sent a couple days ago to me. So I have the last city council packet, which will be in the city council packet for Tuesday's meeting. And in general, our income taxes came in about where we expected them to on projections. Local use tax, per the IML's estimate that it's going to be flat, is flat or actually up. Can everybody hear me okay, or am I cutting out?
You're good.
Okay. And then sales tax, as I mentioned, are up too. And then MFT, we did see a decrease from last year's May allotment of about, let's see here, by 20%. So that's something that we didn't estimate the MFT impact at all. And so we'll be updating that next city council memo. But those are generally, I would say, better than I expected. I think in the first budget memo, we talked about like miles driven is down 67%. And, you know, just anecdotally, the interstate between my house and work, you know, in the end of March was a fraction of the traffic that it is has even been now. So hopefully with people traveling a little bit more and able to go to stores and places here in the next week or so, that, you know, MFT allotments won't decrease too much from last year's figures. And then if anybody has any questions on the expense side, I'm happy to take them.
Any questions or comments on that one? All right. We'll just carry on then. Admin 2020-30, Treasurer's Report for April 20th, 2020.
Heavy beginning fund balance of $13,124,377. Year-to-date revenues of $31,511,274. Year-to-date expenses of $30,548,892. For a projected ending fund balance of $14,086,760.
Anybody have any comments on that one or any questions? If not, we will move that forward to City Council, if everyone's all right. Okay. Next item is the Admin 2020-31 Cash Statement for March of 2020.
Yeah, this is informational as always. You have your city's cash balances on the first page and our investments in certificates of deposit on the second page.
Any comments or questions on these? Pretty standard monthly. All right. Again, that's informational for us. Moving on, 2020-32 website report for February, March, and April 2020.
All this is informational for your use. We do see a spike in March when all of the closures due to COVID came out. And then you see a relatively flat downward trend in April. Our redesign also took place in April. We've gotten a lot of comments, really good comments on it. We've nothing negative. We're in the process of cleaning it up as we have time to do so and removing some of the old links and some of the old images. But if you have any specific questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Does anybody have any questions for Erin or anyone else on this issue? All right, that's informational. Continuing, admin 2020-33, this is the quarterly vehicle replacement chart.
Again, this is just informational. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah, this is a good chart to have. It shows us where things stand, the conditions of the different vehicles. This is nice because we can't say that we didn't know that something was coming due on a vehicle. So it's a good thing for us to keep our eyes on and be aware of what we have. So if there are no comments on that, we'll take that as just informational and move on. Admin 2020-34, consolidation and closure of parks and recreation bank accounts.
Yeah, what we're looking to do is the attached resolution would consolidate the park and rec operating account and special events account. It would collapse it into the city's main depository account. Historically, the park and rec has always had a separate bank account, even though there's no legal requirement to do so. It actually is a bit operationally inefficient. By eliminating that bank account, we could save some time on the finance and administrative side by eliminating the need to move money back and forth for payroll, AP, interfund transfers, etc. We can reduce staff time by at least 15 minutes to a half hour almost every day because we won't have to prepare two deposits. We can just put everything in one account at First National. And it would just, you know, save us some time on the back end too. It would be one less bank account that we would have to reconcile as well. But really the only difference here is where the money's housed. I mean, from a budgetary standpoint, park and rec money will still be park and rec money. It'll all be tracked through Fund 79. It'll be itemized and separated, but we'll just treat it like we do any other department of the city, whether it be water, sewer, land cash, what have you. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Does anybody have any questions or comments on that? I think that's pretty straightforward. It's a good move, it sounds like, Rob. Thank you.
I think Dan might have a question.
No, that's okay. It's not that big of a deal, so.
Okay.
You clarified it for me, so thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
This does require going to City Council, so we'll take that if anybody has any objections, but we will move that out. All right. Admin 2020-35, ordinance amending city code regarding contracts and purchases.
Thank you. Some updates to the purchasing code. This last was addressed in the City Council meeting in January, where we had a listing of a lot of surplus ordinances that were $500 or above, and it was brought by the City Council to recommend looking into raising that amount. So with being in line with Oswego's policy and a little more consistency from we have brought to you to raise the level to $5,000 as a residual value of any of the city's equipment or vehicle purchases. And this also includes any furniture, but $5,000 furniture is very hard to come by. Previously, there was a disposal policy, but it was not codified. So it was just an internal process. So this would codify this and become a full policy that we will bring to you if there is something that is over $5,000. It's just regular equipment and material surplus. We also have included any land as well. So any property that the city chooses to sell at a future date, this does include a policy for this as well. So before we didn't have anything in our records to cover those type of sales. Besides the surplus policy addition, we did clean up a little bit of the language for day-to-day processes. The business registration database, that was launched in 2008. However, it really never was widely used by the business community. So we chose, since we have not used that since 2008, to take that out. As for business registrations, we do have a vendor database that I am setting up internally for my processes that I will reach out to local businesses and let them know if a bid or a RFP is posted on our website. So then that kind of attracts the businesses if they're interested in our to do business with us. So it kind of goes hand in hand together. Another item that we added was the cooperative purchasing. So as you're aware, you've seen a lot of source wall contracts, joint contracts, and so forth. The state does have this in their code. This is just adding that so that we have it documented. So if any businesses do look at our code, that it is listed in there. So if there is another contract that they have with another municipality, that they can reference that for us to utilize that cost as well. Last time this was looked at was in, the last time we did updates on this was in 2017, when we raised the amount from $20,000 to $25,000 per state statute. So just looking over just these basic changes just to bring to the board for approval. I will be doing another phase two in the next few weeks that will be looking at our competitive bidding process and trying to clean that up and making it a little bit more streamlined and understandable. So with your approval, I'd like this to go to council. Any questions?
Anybody
have any questions for Carrie on this or any other staff?
No.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Do you think that the cooperative bidding with other municipalities will result in better prices for services, such as these companies know that if they're negotiating with Oswego, there would be a possibility that they would be able to pull a contract with the city of Yorkville as well, and result in a financial benefit for both of the municipalities?
There is instances where we have utilized that. It depends on the service, and it depends on the purchase. Sometimes it would not be because it might be too big of a project, so it might escalate the cost. And then it might be the case where it might be too far between to where it's spread out across a long period of time to where you have a small project and someone else has a large project, and that might offset the cost as well. So it's not going to be good for every single procurement that we do, but it is definitely something that we look at every time we sit down and discuss it to see if it's something that could be joint with another community.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions or comments out there? I have one regarding the real property. There's a line in there regarding the unemployment rate that if it's higher than the national average for at least 1 month, that comment in there. What's the relevance with that regarding the actual intent of selling real property?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. That's a really great question. Mark, do you want to help me out with that one?
The answer is I don't think either one of us know why that was inserted other than it references the state statute. So Kathy had caught that and had said you have to adopt these provisions by the state statute in order to address sale of real property. And so I'm sure that it's in the state statute for whatever reason.
Thank you, Illinois. Okay. It makes no sense whatsoever to me, but yeah. I'm sure I'll ask that of Kathy when it goes to council as well. So, yeah, are there any other questions or comments on this?
Have you seen the size of the Illinois compiled statutes? You want to know what's relevant and irrelevant?
I have. We have a couple volumes here at City Hall somewhere. I've read them a time.
Yeah, fun reads, huh? Okay, so if we have no other questions or comments on that, we will move this forward to council if no one objects. All right. Moving on, admin 2020-36, fund balance policy revisions contingency.
This is just a pretty straightforward addition to our fund balance policy for the city, adding a contingency line item. We don't need to legally, you know, amend our fund balance policy to include a contingency. We included a contingency with the FY21 budget where we budgeted $80,000. But I think it's a good idea just to memorialize it in the fund balance policy so that we can review this on an annual basis to see if we want to have a contingency or not. So to hit the high points, you would have a separate line item for contingencies like we do this year. We could set it anywhere between 0%, which is essentially no contingency, or 10% of general fund expenditures. The contingency, as the name suggests, would only be used for unforeseen or unbudgeted expenditures. Should the contingency be utilized, it would require a formal budget amendment. And any used amounts, or unused amounts rather, for contingency would just fall to the bottom line or fund balance at the end of each fiscal year. So if there's any questions, be happy to answer them.
Are there questions from anyone for the committee members? My question is, and I know I asked this with Bart, what's the benefit of having a contingency as just compared to having our fund balance?
It's really preference. I mean, fund balance is essentially your contingency. From my standpoint, I mean, there's really no harm in having a contingency line item. I mean, I guess it's just a roundabout way of utilizing fund balance. And if you don't use it, it just falls back to fund balance.
I guess my follow-up question on that, with the 0 to 10% allocation that we can pull from general fund for this, when we budget this, are we basically cutting from other places to fund this, or are we increasing what we would be wanting to levy in order to accommodate having this in addition to our fund balance?
Well, I assume if you put any money in there at all, yeah, I mean, potentially you're taking it away from something else, but ultimately it's really a decision of city council and what your preferences are.
My opinion is it's duplicative. We've been doing very well with our fund balance. We already do budget amendments whenever something comes up that we need to deal with that's not in there. I am not really keen on having a 0 to 10% number that we can have in order to fund this. The actual contingency. I remember a few years back, our auditors kind of questioned this, and that's why some of the language is written the way it is, in order to not have us get dinged on the audits, if I recall. So I'm a little hesitant and have some reservations about approving a contingency line item when we do have a well-funded and well-established fund balance in policy. Any thoughts on that from anyone else?
Chris, if I could just comment on the auditor perspective. I mean, really, whether or not we have a contingency or not is really the purview of management. But just to be thorough, I did run it by our auditors, and they said they didn't have a problem with us having a contingency line item or, you know, amending the fund balance policy. In fact, he commented that it might be actually a decent idea, you know, given the current economic standpoint. But again, it's strictly up to the city council as to how you would like to proceed, and I don't anticipate it being an audit issue, at least.
Okay. That's good to know that they're not going to give us a comment on that one.
Sure. So,
yeah, the big issue is, are we going to be increasing our levy and our budget in order to accommodate putting this in there? I know $80,000 was not very much to start, but if you approach that 10%, of what the general fund is, that could be a pretty significant number. So I want us to be cautious on what we might be obligating for future councils and future taxpayers. So if nobody else has any comments, this does move forward to the city council. Dan?
One question quick. Yes. How do you determine what percentage you're going to use on a yearly basis? You said you can go between 0 and 10. That's a pretty broad spectrum of funds. So is it going to be a yearly allotment where we will decide we're going to put 2% or 8%, or, I mean, is it who's it up to?
Ultimately, it's up to you on city council. I wanted to give a pretty decent range so that we could have some choice. So yeah, that's why it's that wide range of 0 to 10%.
Will it be set every year with the budget? So 1 year it could be 2%, 1 year it could be 5%, 1 year it could be zero?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just going to be part of the annual budget process, and council can set it at any rate they want between 0 and 10%.
Hey, Rob, what would 10% be of our general fund? Approximately.
Well, it'd be $1.6 million on a $60 million budget.
Okay. Just want to make sure, jot that down. And this year we're proposing, or we've worked into the budget, $80,000.
Correct.
We have a very small amount, but it could go all the way up to $1.6 million on our current budget. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. This will move forward to City Council then. The next item is Admin 2020-37, School District Intergovernmental Agreement. This I had asked to be put back onto the agenda. We had not discussed this for several years. This was a discussion we had been undergoing with the school district, and then it kind of went away due to some issues with the school district and how they were working through the agreement. And so at that time, we were working on an older agreement, so we believe we have the draft that we were working at the time and the prior agreement that has since expired. Mark, if you want to give us a quick little synopsis beyond that.
Sure. So the draft agreement that was in the packet was actually voted on. And this is a few years ago now, but my recollection is that the negotiations were progressing, but there were some different views at the time as to old sections from the agreement that should be changed or taken out, and then some new sections that were to be added in. And so the city decided, rather than continue to take a while to negotiate sections to do what we felt was reasonable, and said we went to the school district for their review. That way we were at least on record with it. So I don't know that the draft in the packet accurately represents school district is willing to enter into either then or now, but it is our side of what we felt was reasonable from older agreements. So since the last intergovernmental agreement, there have been a number of amendments to the school district's facility use policy, who they rent their facilities to, where we fall in line with facility allocations and costs of doing so. And the city's contribution to the agreement via police officers has ebbed and flowed over the past couple of years, depending on staffing levels and availability of police officers. So it's all been done on a handshake. It's been working fine. You know, if you asked Tim if there's been any detriment to the Parks and Recreation Department's use of the school facilities from not having an intergovernmental agreement, he would tell you no. He would say that, you know, they've been good to continue to work with. And I think the fear on our end there, though, is that at some point or another, absent an intergovernmental agreement, that that could change, or the policy could be changed, and that maybe our use of the facilities then would be impacted. So so that's where it sits. Since the mayor came on last year, we have had a couple conversations with board members and the executives over at the school district, and they've been open to discussing formal and informal ways to continue to partner. It hasn't made it to the level of saying, hey, let's sit down and negotiate the agreement, but there has been some progress.
All right. So this is a discussion for us right now. I think it would be beneficial for us to have an agreement in place, whether it's the agreement that we have in front of us that had previously been approved and basically tabled, or I should say shelved, or if we want to try to memorialize what we're currently doing. So this is, it's up for discussion as to how we want to try to move forward with the agreement with the school district. So I'll take any comments or thoughts in terms of, do we want to give staff direction to try to reach out and work out an agreement, or leave it as is? Any thoughts?
It's always best to have something in writing.
I agree with that.
All right. With that being said, what direction would we like to take? Do we want to try to memorialize what we're doing currently, or try to kind of go down the road of what we were proposing with the agreement that we have in the packet?
I think we'd have to reach out to the school district to see what their position is on what they would prefer. Because again, they're going to have to agree to whatever it is with the memorial on the intergovernmental agreement. So rather than forcing our hand one way or the other, we should reach out to them to see what they would likely want to do in the event that we put something in writing.
Good point.
I agree.
That sounds good. So with that, I'd say staff reaches out, see if we can open communications and see how they feel about memorializing an agreement of some sort. And then we work out terms subsequently to that. Does that sound like a good direction, Bart?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So this one will come back. No specific time, because I know this will take a little bit of time between Bart and the school district. So once we have some movement, I'm sure Bart will let us know and bring that back. Anything else on that one? All right, moving on. Admin 2020-38, Cable Consortium Exit and Moving Forward Strategy Plan for Providing Services. Okay. So this is a discussion item. If I know Bart provided us the information close to a month ago about Robonsi leaving. So that kind of was the last nail in the coffin for the consortium. So now we know that the consortium is not an option. So from this point, it's a discussion on where we want to go and how we want to move forward. Bart?
Since that update, Mayor has talked to Mayor Hausler and Plato and Mayor Robinson Sandwich just about, you know, going forward and trying to figure out either how to unwind the consortium or how to change it, either in location or in structure. So that'll be something that will be on our plate between the three communities. You know, anytime that there's a loss of building or a location for an organization, you know, maybe that's an opportunity to take it somewhere else. And so at the mayor's direction, we did reach out to the superintendent of the school district and said, you know, essentially you have a tenant here who's losing a lease on their building. And if they were interested, that there might be an opportunity to get involved with a cable consortium. And he seemed interested in it, so I've got the contact information for a couple school district staffers to see if there's a possibility of doing something, either with the equipment or the employees or the knowledge of the consortium in the future. So I don't anticipate that that is going to be a simple or a quick conversation. And so I know that one of the things the mayor had talked to the other two mayors about was just, you know, maybe there's a way that we, you know, put everything on hold or to extend the existing arrangement for a couple more months. And so hopefully with coronavirus issues starting to morph into reopen plans as opposed to disaster plans, that we'll have a little bit more time to dedicate to this because we know that it's important. So separately, the mayor did ask for a couple different options. And really just like a quick check-the-box feasibility study with staff to say, is there another option to broadcast our city council meetings and you know, at least fulfill that one part of what the consortium does. And so, you know, obviously with the pandemic, we've been able to do meetings via Zoom. We can do it through Microsoft Teams, elsewhere. And so with a laptop camera and a laptop microphone, and even everybody in the same room, you can adequately record a meeting via audio and video, and even broadcast it live for people to watch and or participate. So that is one feasible option. And then the second is kind of a more robust nature of what we're doing here. A lot of cities will actually take on the broadcasting and live streaming of the meetings themselves. They'll buy a couple $1,000 cameras, webcams usually, get a control board mounted in their village hall, get like a live stream video converter box and some other AV equipment. And we'll have a semi-professional, you know, meeting set up for the meeting. So we do have a couple staff members who are, I will say, audio, video, you know, knowledgeable. And so they pointed us in the direction of a couple options that we can do both in cameras and in like video conversion boxes that we could do for less than $10,000. And, you know, it would be a step up from what we have currently through these Zoom meetings. And we'll be able to fulfill, in my opinion, at least that part of what the cable consortium does. So, I mean, the act of training people to work on professional level video editing equipment, having the editing equipment, the TV studio, all of that, that would be something that would be either satisfied by a school district or another entity. And it's something that will be obviously more of a complex discussion than just recording city. So that's the update there. There was a cable consortium board meeting, I think, last week. Nobody from Yorkville was able to attend it. So I know that that kind of leaves us in a time crunch over the next 40 days to kind of figure out what we're doing with the organization as a whole. But I would anticipate that, you know, the three remaining governmental entities will come to some sort of an agreement on either a tolling plan or, you know, some sort of a wind down plan for June 30th or sometime thereafter. So that's the update I have right now.
Thank you, Bart. Anybody have questions, comments? All right. The only thing I want to say is I'm hoping that when we move forward with this for the budget, that the money that we have been allocating for the consortium, we continue to keep earmarked for technology, video, this type of use. I don't want to see it going to police cars, staffing. I want to make sure that this is going hopefully to some similar type of a use in technology. So,
good point.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other thoughts or comments? Obviously, this is a moving item still that's going to take a little bit of time to finalize. All right. I'll say for now, we'll bring this back next month, Bart, and we'll see if there's an update on that one. Work for you? All right. Stay moving on. All right. Our last item, Admin 2020-39 Governing Ordinance, Startup Discussion of Review and Changes. So everyone has in here our procedural ordinance. It was approved in 2013. It replaced the prior version. It's been edited a couple times. This is what basically governs the city council committees and how we are to operate. So this is something I wanted to get on here for a discussion. I'm in no rush to move anything forward on it, but there's some general updates that I think would be relevant to it, but also some things that may be beneficial to add and change on this. So it's an open discussion. I have some red lines that I could share with people for a couple of thoughts, but if anyone has anything over the next couple of months or several months, this is something I do think that we could start looking at and working on. But as we said, we have no rush on this one, but it is a discussion point. Anyone has anything now, we can discuss it, or we can just kind of be prepared to bring it forward. Like I said, I have a couple items that I'll have Mark disseminate to everybody for discussion. So if we don't have anything right now, it's at least
that's the only question I have. What type of changes we're going to be suggesting? So if it's forthcoming, then I'll wait and see.
No problem. And that's where I just want to make sure that everybody, you know, read through it. We've had some time to all be, you know, acquainted with how the city council is operating. So if you have any thoughts or comments, definitely bring them forward. So we'll just keep this on as a standing item for the next several months and kind of work through, kind of workshop it and see what comes of it. All right.
Okay.
We will just bring that back. And any additional business? Hearing none, we can adjourn at 6:36.